The X-Cast X-Files Podwatch, episode 90, covering Dead Alive and Three Words. I'm your host, Darren, and with me is television editor of The Digital Fix, screenwriter, and author, Baz Greenland. How are you, Baz?
Oh, I'm good, thank you.
Cool. It's been a while, actually. I think the last one we covered was quite a bit ago, actually, to be honest. Yeah, it's good to hear from you again.
Yes, absolutely. This is actually my third season 8 one. Obviously, I love season 8 so much that I keep coming back.
I love it as well, actually, I have to say. As somebody who's also done a couple of season 8 ones, I like that we're finally sort of we're linking up on this one. Because I like season 8 a lot as well. And one of the things I like about it is that we'll probably sort of talk about it when we get into talking about the episodes, is that it feels like a big story. It feels like one big story beginning to end. Like before you had season arcs, you know, before they were a big thing in television. Like this felt like it has a nice three act structure, you know, beginning, middle and end. I think that the episodes that we're about to cover, which are Dead Alive and Three Words, for me, they appear at the transition between the second and third act. It's sort of like, now we're getting to the stage where it's time to wrap things up and sort of tidy up what needs to be tidied up and set up what needs to be set up. So with that in mind, Baz, what did you make of Dead Alive?
Okay, so it's kind of like, depending when you look at second or third part of the kind of ongoing storyline. You are right, it's kind of got this... I agree with season 8, it's got a really good narrative. And I think Dead Alive is kind of probably one of the pivotal episodes of season 8, in the sense that it ends on that massive cliffhanger of Mulder's back and he's dead, which is obviously he's died before, but they die so many times, don't they? But they keep coming back. But it's quite a big cliffhanger. I think the real nail in the coffin, this one, of course, is that it opens with Mulder being buried. And then jumps forward 3 months, you know, and you think, well, you can have a fake out, they do it before, but how do you fake out someone dying, being buried, and then moving forward 3 months? It's quite a big thing to get over.
I was going to say, even the airing of this aired several weeks. So there was a nice several weeks long gap between the broadcast of This Is Not Happening and Dead Alive as well, which, to be honest, they aired most of The Lone Gunman in that gap, which I think is, you know, really, really sort of sabotaged The Lone Gunman, because nobody wanted to watch an X-Files sort of comedy spin-off in that time. Everybody just wanted to know where the hell Mulder was and when he was coming back. So it does, I think it does a nice sense of capturing that, because you go to winter when they're burying him. And you have this sort of the sense that time has passed in a way, in a very effective manner.
Yeah, and it's also, and it's very much episode of transition, isn't it? So it's you've kind of established Doggett's a pivotal character now. I love Doggett; he's a brilliant character. And at this point, you know, the bond for him and Scully is great. You know, she talks about him as his character beyond reproach. You've kind of got this more ensemble piece going on with Skinner involved too. And it's really is about what's really interesting is Mulder coming back to life, but it's kind of, where does he fit in now? I think that's really interesting, because I know that one of the reasons he didn't type season 9 was because he thought it should be at Mulder and Scully, and that's what the show should be about. And it was up to season 8, but I think it is definitely a different season, and it's interesting to see kind of where the show is going next to me with this story. It's it puts you for the ring. It dangles a turn of Mulder. It was also an episode that kind of feels very much a return to the old mythology. You know, you have Krycek back for the first time in a while as well, and it's kind of, where is the show going next? It's really interesting in that sense.
I know, because I really like it. It's funny that you should mention it as a point of transition. It's like Mulder's back, but he's not really back. Because, I mean, one of the things that I like about season 8 is that it is in some ways like it's both a first season and a last season.
Yeah.
It's structured as a last season for Mulder and Scully. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to be listening to this podwatch for the first time and is hoping to get to the end of it unspoiled, but there is a sense that like maybe the stories involving those characters are coming to a close. Yeah, at the same time, it's sort of like it's a first season for Doggett, who's sort of coming in and learning the ropes and maybe might be expected to carry it beyond that. But like Dead Alive, I like the fact that the show goes out of its way to make a point that Mulder has to die in order to be resurrected. Like there's this, because I mean, we should probably talk a bit about the new mythology involving the super soldiers, which sort of comes into focus here. Like, because the alien colonists, like the mythology in the X-Files doesn't always make sense. In some ways, that's like an endearing aspect of the mythology, is how like completely needlessly complicated it is. Like you've got 4 or 5 different types of bees doing everything from smallpox to spreading the black oil and stuff. That's, you know, you feel like maybe one type of bee is enough.
Absolutely. But,
like, with the super soldiers, right? So the colonist plan, near as I can gather from watching the episode and watching the episodes around it recently, right? It consists of, they abduct a bunch of people. they inject them with this virus that changes them from the inside out into super soldiers who are technically colonists, or at the very least are implied to be alien. It's unclear whether or not they're literally the colonists or whether they're simply like genetically engineered sort of soldiers or surrogates or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But basically part of the process is that they take these bodies up, they perform horrible experiments on them, they dump them in the wilderness, and then they let the sort of the virus work its magic on it, right? However, their magic also seems to require the bodies being taken back, recovered, and put on life support machines in order to allow the virus to sort of nest and mutate and sort of molt. And you have that wonderful scene of Billy Miles literally shedding his skin and becoming something alien, which is like one of the most icky and wonderful mythology special
effects. It's a disgusting moment, yeah.
It is, like, that you see, like, it looks like his skin is breaking. It's really, really icky. It's fantastic. So the colonists then, they have to put it on life support machines, and the way to stop these people from coming back wrong, to stop them coming back as pod people, because there's a very heavy sort of invasion of the body snatchers vibe, and that becomes particularly obvious when you get to the final episode of the season, which has like Mulder bouncing from car to car in a scene that's lifted directly from the movie. But like, in order to stop them becoming pod people, you have to take them off life support and let them die naturally. And it's like, this is an incredibly convoluted plan, invasion plan.
It requires you to
just keep them on your ship until you're ready to release them. Don't dump them in the middle of the ocean or the desert where they're unlikely to be found. Maybe drop them outside an emergency room.
Absolutely, yeah. The whole Billy Miles being thrown in the ocean. Well, if he'd been thrown there forever, what would have happened?
Or if Mulder had been left in the grave as well. If Mulder hadn't have been dug up and put on life support machine, this crisis never would have occurred. Of course, he probably would have suffocated. But aside from that...
Oh, well. But it's weird because in one sense, the super soldier mythology is still quite exciting at this point. I think season 8 mythology is much more exciting. Season 9 is mostly terrible. What's really interesting, right, it's so convoluted in this episode, and that's what lets the episode down. But at the same time, it's quite a straightforward mythology. It's not, shady deals of conspiracies and viruses and plagues and cures. It's basically abduct people, turn into super soldiers, take over the planet. That in itself, and obviously put people in positions of authority as the series progresses as well. And that's a really quite simple but really quite effective idea, And it worked. It kind of worked at this age. It's quite simple. It's very effective. But then this episode doesn't quite know what to do with that. And it's almost like it's drawn out too much. It's like, where are they being abandoned in certain places? Why are they dying and coming back and so on? It makes people feel flat-ended as well. The whole ending, basically, is this whole tease of Krychek possibly has the cure and he's going to threaten Skinner unless he kills Scully's baby. But in the end, Scully takes him off life support and he's back. It's almost like, and that's it?
Yeah, well, there's a great scene at the start of Three Words where they're like, oh, by the way, your brain tumour is fixed.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of felt that one of the things in season 8 that didn't quite work, Mulder was dying of his brain tumour and he was trying to find a cure. I mean, it does lead to great episodes like The Gift. I love The Gift, which is, which kind of deals with flashback, Mulder trying to deal with this tumour and trying to survive. But it's a bit too retrospective and changing the story. When we look at season 7, there's no sign at all that he's dying. But yeah, it's really complicated. He has some great moments. Yeah, the whole Billy Miles, his body, essentially his skin falling off, is pure X-Files horror. It's really just disgusting to watch. But there's a really good ideas there, but it just doesn't really make a lot of sense.
It's an episode that doesn't work, as we talked about, in terms of plot. In terms of A gets you to B, gets you to C, gets you to D, gets you to Mulder's back. It doesn't work at all. But it works quite well for me sort of thematically. Because I feel like it's in many ways, it feels like it's a metaphor for the show dealing with its own like mortality and its own sense of change. Because you've got this situation where you've got Mulder back and you've got him on life support. In some ways, much like the X-Files was on life support. Because, I mean, the ratings during the seventh season were not fantastic. Everybody wanted to end the show during the seventh season but couldn't because Fox had like the worst year on record. And then Duchovny went away and they had no idea what they were going to do then. And you have this sort of idea of like, if Duchovny comes back or if Mulder comes back, do you keep the show on life support? Do you keep it as a pale imitation of what it is? Or do you decide to actually just like pull the plug and to let it end gracefully as it was? And sort of like let it die and maybe let something new or interesting come back. Like you could have Mulder back, but you'd have him back as a pod person, as a shell of himself. Or you could have him back and you could basically face the fact that the X-Files is going to change. And like, one of the things about, you mentioned Krycek's appearance in here, like, Krycek seems like he's advocating for a return to the status quo, for the return to the way things used to be. Like, it's quite clear, for example, the vaccine that he's offering is the vaccine that they worked on during the fifth season to fight the black oil. Like, you're unsure even if it would work on this sort of super soldier thing. But even stuff like, he wants Skinner to kill Scully's baby. And then he'll bring Mulder back, which is like, he's trying to roll the show back to its seventh season. And like, one of the things with Krycek's arc that I really like in the eighth season as a whole is that Krycek is presented as this sort of like, what if Mulder didn't grow up? What if Mulder didn't have the arc that he has at the end of the eighth season, where he kind of comes to terms with his relationship with Scully, and where he sort of comes to terms with being a grown up and an adult and maybe even becoming a father? Whereas, you know, Krycek just wants to continue this sort of fighting the alien invasion stuff, and he's the force of entropy, like, pulling the show back, and it doesn't end well for him, because there's a sense that you can't go back to the way things used to be. And I really like that aspect of the eighth season. But you're right, this, it doesn't work plot wise in this episode. It doesn't tie together sort of logically or organically.
Talking of Krycek, the one thing I absolutely do love, and it's a theme of this series, when Doggett recognizes at the beginning, and what one thing I really enjoy about Doggett in this series is that he does his legwork. He reads the X-Files, so when he sees Krycek, he's like, I know you. And I've seen you somewhere before, which leads to, I think, one of my favourite Doggett scenes, actually, when Doggett goes after Krycek in the car, and he dies through the windscreen, starts punching Krycek in the face as Krycek's trying to get away. It's a really great way to have Doggett and Krycek meet. And I was almost sure they didn't have more of this, but I do love, it's really, really fun and action-packed, this kind of first, very violent meeting between Krycek and essentially what is Mulder's replacement, which is Doggett.
So, Baz, what do you make of Three Words?
I actually prefer this to Dead Alive. I think it's, what's really, really nice we talked about is that it actually becomes more of an ongoing storyline. It's probably almost like the first time it's done like a three or four part episode, pretty starting with Per Manum going through to this one. And it really does continue the themes nicely from Dead Alive of kind of Mulder kind of coming back to the X-Files and the show itself. I guess one of the normal parts of it really is kind of actually finally seeing him come face to face with
Doggett for the first time, really.
Yeah, it's kind of it's going to be explosive, but actually seeing Doggett and Mulder together on screen properly is a great thing. And I guess what's always interesting as well is, like Scully early on, Mulder's pretty much a bit of a dick at this point. You know, you invested so much in Doggett. You know, Scully talks about his character beyond reproach, that when you see Mulder being an absolute dick to him, you're kind of on Doggett's side, which is quite interesting as well.
It is, like, it's because when Doggett first showed up and he played that game with Scully in sort of Within, you were very much on Scully's side, but now it comes along, you've spent the season and a half, you know, you've spent the good two-thirds of a season with him, you trust him, you know he's a good guy, and Mulder sort of comes at him, and it kind of creates an interesting dynamic. But one of the dynamics I really like about sort of Three Words is the sense that you can't go home again. And it sort of builds on what we were talking about when we were talking about Dead Alive, which is like Mulder, like Duchovny has talked about how he wasn't happy with his role at the end of the eighth season. He felt like he was playing the role of Obi-Wan Kenobi. But I like that aspect of it. I like the sense that Mulder can't go back and he can't be the guy that he was. He can't be the protagonist of the show anymore, because he's going at the end of the season anyway, and he's sort of like, he's got to be a torchbearer. And like, one of the things I like about Three Words is that it's him trying to recapture the magic. Like, there's a point where he takes the lone gunman and he goes funky poaching. You know, they wear black and they do the like Memento Mori thing. And it's like, we'll break into a government facility like the old days, except it turns out no, he can't do that anymore. It goes horribly, horribly wrong. The three words of the title, which are Fight the Future, which is, you know, on one stage is the name of the movie that they've made. It's also a suggestion about the anxiety, I think, at the heart of the show, because like, Fight the Future is that impulse to go back to the past and to like refuse to face the future with Doggett and try to go back and capture the glory with Mulder. But I also think that the three words, and this is maybe something controversial or something sort of like that we'd disagree on, but I think the three words in the title of Three Words are not Fight the Future. They're I Love You, because I think that the big arc over the course of the end of the eighth season for Mulder, for me, is him learning to be a father, is learning to accept the baby. Now, obviously, like, there's a big mystery around who's the father of Scully's baby, and a very cynical sort of, like, let's get the internet and the papers gossiping about it as it's broadcasting. Like, you mentioned the body horror of Billy Miles. Body horror is a big part of the eighth season, and it's a reflection of Scully's anxiety about the baby. But Scully has made her peace with the fact that she's willing to have the baby alone and to raise it as a single mother if she absolutely has to. Her arc over the end of the eighth season is basically trying to encourage Mulder, or waiting for Mulder to make his decision and to come to terms with whether he wants to be the father. Because there's a point where Langley asks if they're going to get, if Mulder's going to answer a question about his role in the Blessed Events and stuff like that. And Scully never pushes him. It seems more like Scully's waiting for Mulder to realize that he can't do the stuff that he used to do, and that maybe he should settle down, and maybe he should start a family unit. Maybe the two of them should be together in sort of a lovey-dovey, sort of like a proper relationship, like adults who grow up and get past this stuff. And I really like that aspect of Three Words. And obviously I think it plays with the rest of the season, where you have him in a more mentor role for like Doggett and Reyes, in stuff like Empedocles, in stuff like Vienne, and even in stuff like Alone. And I feel like Three Words sort of captures the sense that like Mulder can't be the guy that he used to be, as much as he might want to be, and as much as like the audience at home, because I think a large portion of fans who are watching it the first time are like, okay, Duchovny's back, get rid of Robert Patrick, we'll go back, it'll be like the sixth season, it'll be like the fifth season all over again, it'll be great. And it's like, no, it can't be like that, in part because like Anderson also, wanted to leave. She had a contract for the ninth season. But Duchovny was very clearly not coming back at this point. And I think that writing him out was the way to do it. And I like the sense that Three Words is quite candid about the fact that it needs to let go of Mulder, which is ironic, given the ninth season then completely ignores that. The ninth season refuses to let go of Mulder.
It does. The season eight ends in a way that they great. Mulder and Scully are done, and it can be the Doggett and the X-Files moving on. And I think it was actually, I think in a way, the season eight finale, I don't know when I was talking about it, but it's kind of the perfect end to the X-Files. And it kind of, this episode is kind of Mulder coming back in. I mean, what's interesting, it doesn't, what I found quite surprised about season eight, but I quite like this, was that he doesn't come back to, oh, well, let's put Mulder on the X-Files as well. It's only three of them working on cases. No, Kirsch, who's kind of a great villain itself. He's not a kind of a moustache twirling villain at all, but you see him take quite delight in kind of torturing Mulder and to his head Doggett as well, Skinner.
Anybody who's had an employee like Mulder understands where Kirsch is coming from. Kirsch is justifiably ticked off. Like, Kirsch comes across as a hard ass, but if you had to deal with Mulder day in and day out, you would take a little bit of sadistic pleasure in like separating him from the X-Files.
I completely believe that, and he does. And this is what's interesting in this episode, is that he's not quite fired from the FBI yet. That comes later, but he's kind of on the out now. He's come back. It's where does Mulder fit? Well, actually, you can't have the X-Files. You can't have your baby, which is the X-Files. So what does he do next? Hence, he runs off, goes into a government facility, tries to access data.
It's basically a midlife crisis episode. It's like Mulder's midlife crisis.
I've come back, but suddenly, Scully's got a baby. She's almost moving on, whether Mulder chooses to do that or not. And it's like, let's get the old gang back together. Let's get the lone gunmen. Let's go and raid a government facility. Let's be these kind of crusaders against the truth. But he can't do that. And so, it is quite fun to see Mulder kind of really out on his own there. And what's interesting as well is that while at the same time he does this, I guess Scully takes a bit of a back step, but Doggett gets his own kind of own narrative as well. You've kind of got his own deep throat in
Roar, Noel Roar.
And I really like it. I kind of wish they'd had a bit more of that before, obviously.
Revealing at the end of it.
Yeah, this episode reveals kind of he's a super soldier too, which is maybe a bit obvious, I don't know, but it's kind of difficult to work out in retrospect.
The fact that it's set up as like a Deep Throat thing, right down to meeting in a public park like Mulder did with Deep Throat, and then it's like immediately he's a monster. It's like you literally cannot recapture the past.
And that's right, because it's very Deep Throat. While Mr. X is all shadowy corridors and parking lots, whereas Deep Throat was a bit more in the open. And this whole Noel Rohrer and Doggett meetings are very much, they remind me of those kind of season one episodes when they were kind of out in the rain with under umbrellas in a kind of public place, chatting about the kind of conspiracy, and it's really good to get Doggett's own story.
He does never really use, though, unfortunately, I think, as well as he might be, because I think you get into the ninth season, and again, like, when you should be developing Doggett's relationship and Roar as a part of that, like, it immediately gets brushed aside. Like, no, Roar's final scene in the show, or final big scene in the show, has nothing to do with Doggett, to be absolutely honest, which is kind of a frustrating conclusion to his arc.
But back here, it's really nice to see that he actually really are invested in Doggett as well. They're bringing him into the conspiracy in a believable way as well. And, you know, and it's great to see him kind of the continuous, you know, common sense character. You know, he's a no-nonsense man. I love that about Doggett. You know, he talks straight. He's no-nonsense. He gets on, does the job. But he's here. You know, he is the voice of reason the whole show. He's the one that eventually talks Mulder down and essentially saves Mulder at the end. You know, he in a way that kind of proves himself to Mulder that he's not this bad guy that kind of Mulder makes it out to be.
All right, so is there anything else sort of that grabbed you about Three Words that you'd like to sort of talk about?
Well, I think just generally it's quite an exciting episode as well, isn't it? I think it's building the mythology, it's building the super soldier arc, which is quite exciting at this point, even though, as we mentioned with Dead Alive, doesn't always make a lot of sense. But you get a sense of this kind of build to the end game. It's another really good, solid season 8 episode.
It is, and like the super soldiers, like, they're very simple, but I think that's the point. Like, the mythology of the 8th season is not so much the colonists, although it's quite nice that you're getting that, like, that Absalom thing where it's like the world, you know, the invasion is actually happening now, which is quite a nice touch. But it's more about Mulder and Scully as people, which I think serves it very, very well. And I think Three Words is a great example of that, because the Three Words can be both the mythology, fight the future, but they can also be the more intimate "I love you" that Mulder refuses to say or acknowledge. But yeah, so I think that's pretty good. And I'm actually really, really happy with these two episodes and with the 8th season as a whole, I think.
Definitely.
All right, then. Tomorrow, we are going to be covering Empedocles and Viennon. I will be back talking about those with Tony. So until next time, trust no one.